Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Fearlessness Frequency Manifesting Success. I am so excited today to bring you this amazing information and really enlighten and empower all of our listeners. I want to start today by introducing myself and my amazing co-host. My name is Melissa LaPlante. I am a self-empowerment coach, author, a keynote speaker and CEO of the Self-Awareness Project, LLC, which we'll talk about that a little bit more later. I've been coaching for over a decade. The first half of that decade, I spent coaching in IT, doing career development. The other half of my career, I spent doing work with developmentally delayed and autistic foster children. And I've since moved into my own private practice where I work with neurodiverse professionals who are trapped in burnout to help them build purpose-driven lives and careers or businesses. But this podcast is more about the larger project that is the Self-Awareness Project. Again, we'll get back to that. I want to take a moment to introduce you to my amazing co-host. Lawrence is an incredibly powerful, intelligent, compassionate, and amazing 18-year-old man who is out there as a wellness coach and a public speaker. And I asked him to be my co-host because I just thought he was going to bring so much awesome dynamics to the show. So let me give him a moment to introduce himself and tell us a little bit about himself. Lawrence.
So a little bit about me. After that wonderful introduction, as you guys already know, I'm an 18-year-old author, wellness coach. I primarily specialize in helping teens and young adults to overcome limiting beliefs, as well as improving their social skills and communication. And the thing that got me into it was simply being sick and tired of feeling sick and tired of thinking that I didn't matter. And once I was able to overcome my problems and overcome how I felt, I realized I can help others to do the same. And that's what's led me up to this point. And one day, seemed like the stars just aligned, and now I'm a co-host on a podcast.
Yes, that's beautiful. Well, you know, I'm excited to have Lawrence. We've spent a lot of time talking. His ideas are valuable, and I love the way that we have chemistry. So I think you guys are going to enjoy our back and forth. So let's dive into what the show is about. What are you guys listening to? Right? So a few disclaimers, though, before we get into the meat of it. This is a podcast all about authenticity. Okay, my brand, my mission, it's all about discovering your most authentic self and figuring out what your purpose is, right? And giving and sharing that purpose with humanity. So some disclaimers about my authentic self. We are going to talk a lot about neurodiversity on this channel, not because I work with neurodiverse clients, but because I am neurodiverse. I am late diagnosed autistic, ADHD, OCD, and I'm also a trauma survivor. And all of these things create neurodiversity in the brain. You're either born with it, like autism or ADHD, or you develop a neurodiversity over having been a trauma survivor. So, you know, we're going to talk a lot about that. There's going to be a lot of education around that. But that being said, this podcast is for everyone because this message is for everyone. And what is that? What is that message? Well, the Self-Awareness Project, and that is spelled C-E-L-L-F, is because we are each a cell in the greater organism. And everything, as you know, or if you don't know, everything is energy. Everything is vibrating energy. That means that I am a collective of vibrating energy, and I am touching the air that is touching the air that is touching the air that is touching you, which essentially means we're all touching. Ew. But it's true. And so we're all connected. We're all connected in this giant energetic collective vibration, right? And I believe that we're each a cell that has what I call a cellular purpose, okay? And what is that? What is the cellular purpose? It means the thing that you are authentically designed to do. It is something for me. My cellular purpose is helping wake up all the other cells to what their purpose is. I talk a lot about this in my keynote speeches, in my upcoming book. But it is so powerful to go through this with people too. And so what we teach on this channel is the physics of vibration, the physics of manifestation. It sounds like a sci-fi movie, but the science is there. It's been there since Pythagoras. Pythagoras was the first person that I know in history that started talking about frequency and vibration. And he even stated that at some point music would replace medicine, the frequency of music, which is actually something current scientists are working on. There is frequency healing techniques. There are rumors that there is one that is curing cancer right now. I say rumor because I have no fact-checking ability on that. But do I believe it to be possible? Absolutely. So that's the first thing, physics. The next thing we're going to be talking about is authenticity. And that is where I bring in my first disclaimer. I am authentically someone who uses curse words quite a bit. And because I want to be in my own authentic space, I don't want to have to censor myself. So this is probably not a podcast to be listening to with your kiddos. That being said, all the information on the podcast, absolutely pass it on to your children. It is fact, it is science, and it is beautiful. We're going to have lots of guests on here talking about different areas of the principles that I'm going to go over here in a minute. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very quirky. I'm very silly. I don't take anything too seriously. I absolutely love bursting into song, rap lyrics, etc., when the moment calls for it. So now that you have those disclaimers, let's talk a little bit about what is the self-awareness project. So my goal is to help as many people as possible to tune into their most authentic selves, find out what their cellular purpose is, and to then build purpose-driven lives and careers or businesses around that purpose. My greater mission for that is I would like to, 10 years from now, be able to group those businesses together to launch global scale projects to improve humanity's greatest needs. And I am fully aware of the fact that I will probably never sit under the shade of the trees that I am planting. That being said, I am still planting those seeds because it's necessary, right? So let's jump right in. So the five principles of the self-awareness method are as follows. Learn yourself. I cannot tell you how absolutely pivotal it is to know yourself intimately. And Lawrence, please feel free to chime in anytime when I'm going through these principles and give your feedback and your thoughts, because I value them and I know our audience will too. But the most important thing that you can do is learn yourself. Why? Well, one, how can you be your most authentic self if you don't know who that is? But two, when you learn everything about yourself, you find your strengths, the things that you are amazing at. And that is what I call your box of awesome, okay? All the different tools that you have to fill up your box of awesome. And they aren't necessarily conventional tools, because let's face it, I am trying to free people from the matrix, not conform to it, okay? So something that you may not consider to be a tool, a personal tool right now, that goes in your box of awesome, you could be totally wrong. So, you know, building your box of awesome, knowing all your strengths, knowing your challenges. And it is important to know your challenges for two reasons. Number one, to figure out which of your tools in your box of awesome you can use to overcome those challenges. Number two, you know, when to ask for help, obviously, if you don't have the necessary tools yet. And I say yet because yet is a big word in my vocabulary. I don't believe anything can not be done. I think that, you know, it's just, I don't know this yet. I don't have this yet, right? That's my mentality. So learning yourself as a toolbox helps you navigate every situation, because you're like, okay, this is the problem. This is the tools I have to face the problem. This is the tools I have to learn the things I don't know. And this is the support system I have to ask for help when I've reached those, right? So that's the first one, learn yourself. The second one and probably the absolute most important one, maybe. I mean, they're all super important, but heal yourself. You know, once you have ripped away all those layers that aren't you under the mask. And let's be clear, neurodivergent people mask, but so do neurotypical people. And while neurodivergent people mask in a different manner because of their different challenges, neurotypical people are no different. I guarantee you, you've met a neurotypical person who is presenting themselves as who they think you want them to be versus who they really are. And so masking is something that we've developed as a society to protect mm-hmm. ourselves. And so pulling off that mask for yourself and really saying, you know, what are my values? What do I believe? What is important to me? What?
Definitely.
What was that?
I was saying definitely, like it's hearing the fact that not only do we learn to create this mask, but we're actively taught to.
Oh, 100%.
Like in school, I remember so many times when, your true interest or your real hobby could have been something like Pokemon cards.
But yeah.
Everyone else hates them.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, you hate Pokemon cards and you love football.
Yes.
Or
oh, God. Yes.
If maybe you wanted to, or maybe you wanted to learn how to become the world's best painter, but everyone said that you should go be a carpenter. So instead of doing what you genuinely want to do and what actually makes you happy, for all you know, you could have been the next Picasso.
Absolutely.
But now you're working on a construction site.
Oh, 100%. And not that you're not valuable on that construction site, but you're not serving your purpose. You're not doing what you were meant to do. And that is great insight. And so, you know, it's important to heal ourselves from that work, because when you begin to understand and embrace your most authentic self, there's a lot of painful things that will happen. You're going to lose people who, like you said, you pretended to like football instead of Pokemon. Now you're going to embrace, hey, I love Pokemon. All your football friends are going to be like, you're weird deuces, right? Because they're not meant to be part of your, I guess, for lack of better reference, cell group, right? They're not vibrating on your frequency. And that's okay. We're not all meant to vibrate on the same frequency. And we're not all meant to do the same thing, because what good would that do in the universe, right? Something I talk about a lot in my keynote speech is that a lot of times, you know, well, I'll get back to that because it's a larger point. So we'll put a pin in that. But there is something that I talk about that definitely goes along with that. So healing yourself from those painful separations in people, from those feelings of not being good enough or being weird. Personally, I love being weird. I am all about it. But, you know, that's something that you have to learn to love about yourself, right? So healing yourself is number two. Number three is forgive yourself, all right? So, you know, now you've done this healing work. Now you realize all these ways in which you were falsely representing yourself. Don't beat yourself up about that. Don't say, oh my God, you know, I've been wasting all this time. I could have been Picasso on this construction site and I'm such a loser, blah, blah, blah. Don't do that. Forgive yourself, because my favorite quote in the world, and I promise you will hear it on this podcast a million times. If you ever come to see me live at a speaking event, you will hear me say this. You will hear me say this if you're a client of mine. Maya Angelou said, and I was so blessed to actually hear this in person. She spoke at my friend's college graduation years and years ago before she passed away. And she said, do your best until you know better. Then do better. And I think that is the absolute greatest advice in the world, because you can't beat yourself up. You know, it would be like a flower screaming at itself for having been a seed, right? Why would it do that? It had to be a seed before it became a flower, and there was no in between of that. And the same is true for you as a person, you know, so definitely forgive yourself, because self-compassionate, right? There's a lot more that goes into self-compassion that we'll go through in, you know, probably in later episodes, but that's the very most important thing. Forgive yourself, be compassionate to yourself. Number four, and probably one of the hardest parts of the five principles of the self-awareness method is honor yourself. You know, now you've done the work to know who you are, what you want, you know, what your strengths are, you know, what your purpose is. But now you're going to be thrown into a situation where there's people around you that maybe judge or criticize that, or don't respect the boundaries that you've set for yourself and things of that nature. It is so important for you to make sure that you surround yourself with people who are positively affecting your life, not negatively affecting your life. It is important that the jobs that you apply for, the companies you work for, the stores that you shop in, whatever it is, that you are honoring your core values and your frequency and what you represent, so that you are staying consistently authentic. And then the final principle. Oh, go ahead.
I would simply say, and I flew to that because I realized that when you have these boundaries, you have these standards for how you live, there's going to always come a time when you need to truly stand by it.
Yes.
Like, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're telling them, hey, if you cheat on me, I'm going to leave you. Then they do it. Now you have to actually stand by it, or they're going to go, oh, you were just kidding. You were just saying words. So right? I'm going to go do it again.
Yes.
Or in a less extreme example, if you have a friend who always picks fun of something they know you're insecure about, like if they said, oh, you're short, and they make jokes about it, you have to respect yourself enough to go, oh, this is somebody who isn't actually my friend.
Right. They're not valuing. Because if someone truly your friend,
they'd have the respect for you to, yeah, they'd have the respect for you to not keep doing a thing you said not to do.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, and that also, you know, brings me to something that's kind of outside of this point, but also not. And that is that one thing that is really important to learn is that every interaction that you have with somebody and they're not being authentic, they're not being kind, they're not being, you know, they're not honoring you, etc. I want you to take yourself out of the equation of that, because at the end of the day, something that I think people really struggle with is they feel so many emotions about what somebody else feels. And the thing is that what they're feeling more often than not is coming from internal insecurities, internal struggles, internal, you know, frequency inconsistencies. They're not vibrating at their most authentic frequency. They're not being the cell they're supposed to be. And as a result, that is how they react to your sensory, for lack of a better word. And so, for instance, a great example of that is I often say something very controversial. And I have to explain it, because when I first say it, people look at me like I have 17 heads. And if I did, that'd be great. I'd had 17 brains, but I don't. So, but that is that I am a very confident and powerful person, but it took me a very long time to accept that about myself, because I had this preconceived notion, this social conditioning that told me that being loud and proud about my greatness was rude, that it was diminishing someone else's greatness. And so we've been taught humility, but the way that we've been taught humility, I think, is completely wrong. We've been taught like, oh, someone gives you a compliment, praises you, you dumb yourself down and say, oh, I'm not that great, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. I think that that is incredibly harmful to your own energy. I think that you are diminishing yourself, and you're doing it verbally out loud, which is the most powerful frequency that comes out of your body, your voice. Well, it isn't actually, but we'll get back to that. But it is one of the most powerful frequencies you have, your voice, to speak things into existence and speak them into truth. And so I say, and I have said for many years, humility is bullshit. And I'll tell you why. While I do not believe anyone is better than anyone, I am not better than any other person out there in any way. But I am the greatest me that I can possibly be. And every day I wake up, my personal goal is to be in competition with myself and to be better than I was the day before. And I am not going to dumb myself down or diminish myself for someone else's benefit, because there's two reasons for that. Not only am I doing myself a disservice, I am doing them a disservice. How is that, you ask? Because I am like allowing them to coddle themselves and say, oh, okay, I don't have to rise up and be better. You know, so what happens is people, when they don't like you, because they think, oh, she's cocky, or she thinks she's all that. It's coming from internal insecurities. It's coming from a place within them where they don't believe they are equally as great as I believe I am. And I believe they are equally as great as I am. I believe everyone is equally as great as I am in their specific role as their self. I can't be that. I can't be you. You know, I can't be Lawrence. Lawrence can't be me. But we both have similar roles in the cellular structure.
To chime in on that yesterday, that was something big I was thinking on, because often I do this thing where when I get a thought that I think needs to get shared with the world, I just whip by my phone. I'll be walking in the street talking into my phone, and people are rolling down their window, staring at me, looking at me walking by, side-eyeing me. And I really won't care, because I realize that at the end of the day, they're probably going to forget this in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Or less, because they're so involved in their own internal lives.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and some people have heard the things I've said, and after I'm done recording, they come up and they're like, wow, man, that really changed me. Like, thank you for doing that.
That's amazing. And that is something I love very much about my role as a cell, is really empowering and affecting change in people's lives. That is why I do what I do. But the other thing is that, so I have come up with a quote that I think sums up how I feel, because what I think is, instead of dumbing yourself down, you know, take the compliment, be the greatest that you are. That doesn't mean you can't take that moment to uplift them also. Tell them something they're amazing for, right? But what I won't do is I will not be responsible for how you feel about how I feel about me, right? So if you have insecurities and animosities towards my authentic existence, that's something you have to resolve within yourself. And I want to give you that opportunity to rise to that challenge. I want to empower you to understand that your greatness is equal to mine, and that I don't have to dumb myself down for you because you feel like you're not enough. That's not true. So I'm going to tell you how great I am. And then I'm going to say, and you are also that great, right? I'm not going to say I'm better than you. So this is why I think humility is complete bullshit. So the final principle, the fifth and the most important of my method, and the reason that I do what I do, is give yourself. So here we are. We figured out who we are, what our cellular purpose is. We have done the healing work. Now, let me tell you, that's not a one-time fix, okay? Your fears and your frustrations and your challenges, some of them never go away. But what happens is, when you repeatedly encounter them in life, you're kind of doing it in a spiral pattern where you're like Mario, you came leveled up, right? So now here's this same problem you faced 30 times, but you have 30 new tools between the first time and this time to deal with it. And now it really isn't so bad, right? And so you've done the work to heal yourself. You've honored yourself by making choices that align with your greater purpose and your vision and who you are authentically. And now it's time to give that purpose, right? That is why I speak at conferences and events. That is why I am launching this podcast. That is why I wrote my book. And that is why I coach, because I want to uplift and empower each of the cells to give their purpose fully. And my reason behind that, so now we're going to go back to that pen. Remember that pen we poked in earlier that I said, let me get back to that? We're there now. Okay, so everybody always tries to fix the greater injustices of the world from the top down, right? And I'm not in any disagreement that the systems need to be fixed. You know, we have terrible government systems. We have terrible social systems, terrible work systems. Everything is in disarray. But here's the thing. The reason is there are so many cells out there that are not doing their cellular purpose. And here's what's happening instead. So let's say you walked into a doctor and you said to the doctor, okay, just fix my whole body, like right now, everything, head to toe, all at once. Ready? Go. He'd be like, I'm a foot doctor, bro. I can fix your foot and I can refer you to the other doctors you need, right? And it's no different in society as a whole, because we are a collective energetic organism. If we're not completing our cellular purpose, we are a cancerous cell. And the more cancerous cells we have out there, the more larger tumors we have in the greater consciousness, which is creating the larger discord. So how do we fix that without jumping in and fixing all these systems? Well, and here comes, you know, one of my first of many F-bombs on this channel. We have to unfuck ourselves, right? We need to stop focusing outwardly on other people and other people's problems and the structures, because here's the problem. Let's say that the way that we talked about healing our whole body at the same time, let's say that I'm a heart cell in that greater body, right? And I look over one day and I'm checking out the liver cells and I'm like, yo, those liver cells are lit. Like, I want to be one of those. Like, look at that liver cell's outfit. Look at his girl. She's so fine. Look at, you know, the awesome house they live in. You know what, guys? I'm done being a heart cell. I'm going to go be a liver cell. And it goes and bees a liver cell, right? And then all the other heart cells go, or kind of like all the other Pokemon players to the football players go, yeah, let's do that. And they all run over and become liver cells. Guess what? Now that body doesn't have a heart at all, because all the heart cells are busy trying to be liver cells, but there's plenty of liver cells because they were already doing that. And so when we focus on our personal frequency, our vibration, and we create that vibration with our thoughts, our actions, our beliefs, and, you know, our contribution to the greater whole, when we are trying to be a liver cell, when we're supposed to be a heart cell, it doesn't work so well, right? And that's the problem. And that's where the greater discord is coming from. Absolutely. Is we're all being forced to be cells we're not meant to be.
Absolutely. Like, it's really as if the world tried to condition us to be something that we're not.
Absolutely. Like,
so many people are just trying to chase after this idea of what is success to the world rather than what is success to them.
Yes.
Because I have a friend who, her idea of true success is genuinely living like off the grid in the woods. Like, this is what she wants.
I know people like that. Lots of people like that.
But to most people, but even though there's a lot of people like that, that's because those are people who have learned to accept and understand that about themselves.
Yes.
The large society would say, oh no, you need to make XYZ amount of money. Uh-huh. Your house has to be this big. Uh-huh. You have to drive this car. Uh-huh. You have to have three kids in a gated community.
Right.
Whereas some people just want to go live in the woods.
Right. And even though this podcast is going to be
international. Here's the thing. That's a dream.
Yeah, it is. It is a dream. And I heard someone say this once. I don't remember if it was on like a TikTok or I think it was a TikTok. But she said, if you believe the American dream, it's because you're asleep. You know, and wake up, right? Yeah. And so the thing is that this is why my mission is what it is. If each of the cells goes out there and actually completes their purpose, then all of our needs will be met, you know? And so those greater systems will fall. The problem is that in American schools and in American corporations, we are purposely put in a box and told to behave and exist in a specific way. And I truly believe that's because it makes it easier for the industries to mass produce everything. They mass produce clothes, and it's easy because everyone is wearing what's in fashion. So that's easier for them. They mass produce our food. How many people are out there suffering because they're eating things that doesn't work with their personal body and chemistry makeup, but they don't have choices. They get what's at the grocery store, right? And not all of us have the ability to grow our own food. I have a black thumb, okay? Plants let out a needy little scream when I walk by, like, like, you know, I'm the kind of person that if you don't bark like my dog did just now, or meow, or tell me that, you know, you need something, I have ADHD, so I have, we suffer from object permanence loss, meaning that if I don't perceive the thing, I don't remember it exists. And so I'm so sad. I've let fish die. I've let lots and lots of plants. I stopped getting fish after the first one that died, though, because I was like, you know what? I can't care for a fish. I'm not that person, right? I can't care for plants because there's nothing that the plant does to remind me that it's there, right? So, you know, but somebody out there, that's their cellular purpose, to grow food and to, you know, everything they touch just like blows up, and they have huge farms because that's what they're meant to do, right? I am not meant to do that. I am meant to, you know, wake up cells, right? And so I think that that's my greater mission, is to try to get as many cells out there doing what they're supposed to be doing, so that all the needs are met individually in our local communities and in the world, in that person's direct reach, right? And that's another point that I want to, you know, bring to, you know, one of my programs that I do is I have an 18-week program that teaches you, it's a group program, which I find a lot of success in because there's a lot of ideas and energy flow. But it's an 18-week program that teaches you how to take your purpose, the thing you really want to do, and launch and build and launch a business around it, right? And so one of the things that I talk about in that course is that I lost my thought. And I'll tell you, there's another disclaimer, because I do have ADHD. That's going to happen. But I'll get back to it, because, you know, I just get very passionate about what I'm talking about, and then, you know, I get distracted. But, you know, my hope is to help. Oh, I remember the point. See, told you. There's a lot of people out there saying, well, you know, I really enjoy this thing and this is what I'm passionate about, but there's so many companies and people out there already doing it. I would just be lost in the mix and there's no point. And that is so beyond untrue. Analogy I often like to use with my clients is, let's say you're a blue Lego, okay? And yeah, there's a billion other blue Legos out there, but they're all necessary, every single blue Lego. And if you are not being your Lego like you're supposed to be, you could be the final Lego in a larger piece of creation that now just won't be finished ever because you didn't do your part. And so, you know, every single one of us has a very unique individual purpose. That doesn't mean that there aren't other people out there doing very similar things. You and I have very similar coaching niches, right? You work with limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs is a huge part of what I do, you know, and because fear, you know, is, in my opinion, you know, everybody says money or the love of money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. I don't believe that. I mean, money, love of money is a bad thing. But let's step back and look at, why do we love money? Well, here's what I think. I think fear is the genuine root of all evil. Because we love money because it keeps us, we perceive that it keeps us safe from our fears. We can get food with money. We can get shelter with money, clothing with money. And in our current belief in society system, we believe that we can get status, acceptance, and love with money. This is not true, but it is the belief in our society, right? And so if you look at any heinous act in history, wars, why did we go to war? Well, we were afraid they were going to attack us, so we attacked them first. Or we were afraid we don't have enough resources, and this country has those resources. Why do bullies bully kids in school? Well, because they have insecurities and they're hurting and they're lashing out. But that, so every inauthentic frequency, I truly believe, stems from fear. And so that's the meat of what the fearlessness frequency is, because I teach people how to be so solid in who they are, what their strengths are, how to continue to build on those strengths and learn new things and grow new talents. How to network and build, you know, the life that you want. And that, you know, that really takes away from that mentality, because when you can 100% rely on yourself and your support system, and you know that for a fact, fear goes out the window. Now, doesn't mean you don't still get scared. Okay. I'll tell you, when I first started my company, I was working under a contract, like I said, working with developmentally delayed and autistic foster children. I can speak English, I swear. But at the time I was the person who ran the company was an extremely, toxic and abusive person and jealous. And so I had a 5-year plan for my company and I was really like, okay, I'm gonna build it slow. And then when I leave my contract, which was to end at that same time, I will step right into my company, ready to make revenue, ready to, you know, launch everything and be good. But because I started taking steps towards my dream, the universe said, oh no, this is physics, cause and effect, baby. You accepted your place. You started building this. And now we're going to help out a little bit. And that employer actually wrongfully terminated me out of jealousy that I was running her company perfectly while successfully building my own on the side. And she started being very toxic and abusive about it. Yep. And when I stood up to her, she fired me. Now, that was a very expensive mistake for her. I sued her because I honored myself and said, no, I won't take that. I honored myself and set my boundaries with her. And when that wasn't respected, I continued to honor myself by saying, okay, well, I am going to take action for your wrongdoing. But that was the universe's way of giving me, you know, $15,000 capital for my business, right? So I started my business on unemployment. No idea, you know, about everything that it would come to be. I just knew that I had ideas, visions, and goals, and I was going to keep attacking them every single day. And then here we are, fast forward, and I'm doing amazing, right? But there were so many times within that process that I was scared, like, oh my God, I don't have much savings left, and I'm not making revenue yet, you know, but never did I sit down and say, it's because I wasn't good enough. Or it's because, you know, I just kept trusting in the process and trusting in physics, right? The universe. And I am not religious, but I'm extremely spiritual. I do believe there is a God. I do believe that there is a greater maker of this physics that exists, right? And so I have full faith in myself and that God and the law of physics to know that everything will work out. And in every setback I've had in this company, I, you know, followed my steps, followed my method, followed my own advice. I was always my first client. We'll put it that way. And everything not only worked itself out, it worked itself out better than I was even aiming for. Like a perfect example of that is you, Lawrence. I previously had asked someone else to be my podcast co-host. They were wildly different than you as a person. They were, you know, And what I think is amazing about what you bring to this show is that you have, you're, first of all, you're 18. So you've got the younger audience and I'm 15 in my head. I'm never going to grow up. I loved working with kids. I actually miss it so much. And I'm actually working with my local schools and stuff to volunteer in autism support and stuff like that. But you know, you bring a younger point of view, and you bring different experiences. So, you know, you, were the co-host I was supposed to have, but me meeting that other person sparked the idea because I wasn't originally going to have a co-host. I was originally going to do this by myself, but I thought, listen, as much as I like to talk, I don't like talking to myself. I mean, yeah, I narrate out loud, you know, like, oh, I got to do this and where's my whatever. But like to actually go through this, it's so much more valuable when somebody else can put an input off what I say and bring a different view or a more strong view to my point. So I want to say I appreciate you a lot. But, you know, you are an exact example of how something that didn't work out that made me devastated and sad, I just said, you know what? I'm just going to keep going forward and do what I'm doing and just, you know, work around that setback. I didn't go look for another co-host because I was like, I never looked for one to begin with. That kind of ended up in my lap and I thought it was great. And then the universe was like, okay, you've now made your desire known. And so here you go. And, you know, I often explain to people that.
Yeah, and that's something that happened.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say that that was something that happened exactly for me too, because for about a month or so before we met, I was saying to myself that one of these days I'm going to get invited to do a speech in California.
Oh, awesome.
And I had no clue how I'd end up doing that.
Yes.
I just, in my head, somehow, some way, somebody in California would want me to do that. And now here we are. Someone in California has me on as a co-host in a podcast.
And that's exactly how it works.
So technically, my feet are not in California.
It's not, but they will
be. In a way, I am in California.
Yes, you are. And they will be, because if that's still a desire for you, it will be met in multiple ways, right? And so Einstein said, and what's really amazing is I've been working on, you know, I've been coaching for over a decade, and my method and the things that I teach and everything are not new in any way. This particular venture of me being a solopreneur and building my private practice, you know, this is a bit of a baby, but what I've been doing has been solid for over a decade. And so 12 years ago, when I first had the baby idea for my principles and whatnot, I didn't have a clue where the journey would go. I just knew the destination. My goal is to do a TED talk by the time I'm 45. Now, I'll tell you a hilarious story is when I first made that goal, I was so scared of my own power still. A lot of people fear failure, but something that isn't talked about often enough is those of us who fear success. I was so terrified.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was so terrified of being as powerful as I felt I was.
And I had that experience too.
Oh, yeah. So many people do. And it's just not talked about enough. Everyone talks about fear or failure, which is definitely also still there and prevalent. But in my case, it wasn't a fear of failure. It was a fear of success. Something that Lawrence and I were talking about off camera was that I love to sing. And when I was younger, people would always try to make me get on American Idol or this or that show. And I was never afraid that I wouldn't do well. I was terrified I'd win. And I had no desire to be famous in that environment. I still don't. Yeah. Right. And I know that I hope that I become well known in this circle because I want to reach as many people as possible. But I don't want the life of a celebrity, you know, an A-list celebrity who's out there with paparazzi in their face. I'm a private person. And I'm also not nice. I'm genuine. I'm real. I'm kind. I'm compassionate. I'm understanding. But in my opinion, nice is one of those social constructs that you are being a certain way to someone to adhere to a construct. So if you are directly violating my personal space, I will be kind and give you a warning. And then after that, it's going to get real. Okay. So, you know, and so.
Yeah, like for me, the fear of success was huge too. Like, I'm going to cut you off there, but that just triggered this whole thing for me.
I expect you to do that because otherwise I don't know if you'll get a word in.
Yeah, it's that when you're growing up, imagine you have this agreement with the world that if you do X, the world will give you love. Like if you get good grades, your family will say, I'm proud of you.
Yeah. If
you follow what they say, you'll get what you want. So if you come to this job, as an example, and you work these amount of hours, we will give you this amount of money.
Right.
Now, when you take it further than that, it's as long as you are similar to us, you get to be a part of our group.
Right.
That's why football players hang with football players. Pokemon card people hang with them.
Yeah. Birds
people
of a feather.
Who like art hang with players. You are similar to us.
Yeah.
But the problem is when you want to do something that hasn't been done in your family, it comes with one really big risk. You might have to separate yourself from them.
Yeah.
Because it's like hot and cold. If everyone around you is hot, but you know that you're cold, you can't mingle with them anymore.
Right. You need
and
to take care of your own needs.
Hard thing to accept.
Well, and
because
that comes
it
down
means
to
that
kind of healing yourself and the whole thing we were talking about people not vibrating on your frequency affecting you.
Yeah, and you have to be so absolutely unapologetically yourself
yes.
that you're willing to, like, you're willing to get on the boat by yourself, figure out how to sail it, figure out where to go,
right?
And do all of that because you understand that what you're around and the energy you mix with, it's like water.
Yeah.
If you have clean water, but then you start dripping mud into it, eventually you're going to have a jar full of mud.
Yep. Absolutely.
So you have to decide, do you want to preserve your past world, or do you want to embark on the journey to your new
and grow? Right, exactly. And you know, and so you know, in my case, I'm trying to do something that's never been done, period. Not that my family hasn't done, not that, you know, my friends or peers or colleagues haven't. No one has tried to group large companies onto projects for global humanity, you know. But the coolest thing that I have come across, because when I first started talking about what I wanted to do, I expected people to look at me like I was crazy, or that, you know, that's not possible. Like, I expected to hit walls with people's perceptions of what I'm doing. And it's been the absolute opposite. Every single person who I tell what my project is and what my dreams are, they are just like, yes, yes, that is amazing. Right. And yeah. So, but one thing I want to kind of circle back to a thought I had before is that, you know, again, we talk about physics a lot on this podcast, because my entire principles are built on the laws of physics and vibration and frequency, and it's all extremely real. And we're going to break down lots of that stuff, you know, in the episodes to come. But I, so like I said, I started creating this system, principles and whatnot, 12 years ago. It was only 2 weeks ago that I discovered an Einstein quote, and it blew me away, because I was like, I've always had this weird connection with Einstein. For those who don't know a lot about autism, autistic people have what's called a special interest. It's one thing that they're very obsessed with, and they learn as much as they can about it in every capacity. And for me, that's been physics. But it started when my daughter was in kindergarten. To give you kind of a scope of that, my daughter will be 18 this year, so it was a while ago. I had read Einstein's theory of relativity, but just like the first sentence or so that talked about how everything was vibration. And I was like, I like this, right? And suddenly I had all these thoughts and ideas that kind of connected of, well, if that is so, then this is so, this is so, this is so. But they were just ideas, right? And then one day my daughter was at school, and I finished all my, you know, things I had to do that day. And I was like, I'm going to sit down and watch a documentary. I love to learn. I'm addicted to learning. But especially about my passions like physics. And so I found this documentary, and I can't remember what it was called. And it's also a best-selling book. I'll have to find the name. It was a program that was talking about the basic ideas of string theory. And it was all the ideas I'd already had on my own. Like, I just downloaded string theory. I just understood it. And it blew me away. And I do have an IQ of 163. Einstein's is 160. I don't care about that. IQ just means how quickly you learn. But apparently I learned so quickly, I just connect to the universe and it just tells me stuff. It's a trip. And so that's when I started building, you know, when I really got obsessed with physics and sound and energy. And the thing is I've always been really interested in energy and healing, right? Being a healing facilitator. I studied all these different things, and I just learned the other day that Einstein said, everything is energy. That's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality that you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It is not philosophy. It is physics. And that is true. I often compare when we take actions and thoughts and energetic movements towards our purposes, it's kind of like, you know, those metal ball hanging things. I really got to learn what those are called because I'm tired of referring it to that way. But, you know, the physics things that when you hit the one ball, the other one goes up, right? You often see them in TV shows on like a psychologist's desk.
It's called a Newton cradle.
Oh, you're amazing. I love you. Okay. So yes, a Newton cradle. And well, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense, actually. Isaac Newton. But anyhow, yeah. So when you take that step towards whatever your goal is, then the ball on the other end goes up. That's the universe answering you. And so every step that I've taken towards my purpose, I've been met with everything I needed. And, you know, we're going to actually talk about that in the next episode, because the next episode is going to talk about, this is going to be your wheelhouse. We're going to talk about the limiting belief of I don't have enough money to pursue my passions. And like I said, I started my company on unemployment unintentionally. Yep. So that's not true. And we're going to talk about tons of resources, not just, you know, this is not a podcast just about mindset. Okay. We're going to give you resources. We're going to teach you, you know, practical steps that you can do in your own life to achieve these things that we're talking about each week. So we are winding down towards the end of our podcast. Lawrence, do you have anything else that you want to add? I love your valuable feedback.
Thank you. I want to say that on the note of limiting beliefs, it's all these things are conditioned within us.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a baby comes out the womb, it's just blank. Like it's a blank slate.
Yep.
It doesn't have a name. It doesn't know a language. Mm-hmm. It doesn't know anything except just be so hyper observant of what goes on around it.
Yes.
So it can figure out, who am I supposed to grab? That's its first thought. Who do I grab?
Right, right. Like what?
That's why they, right when the baby's born, they wipe it off and immediately hand it to the mom.
Yes, because that's that bonding that the baby moment knows, that creates those chemicals. Yeah, 100%. And I think that, you know,
so when we're growing up, the people around us are going to be either some of our most vital support, or they're going to be some of the people who start to instill thoughts in us like, oh, but that's too hard. And they right. don't mean to hold you back. It's
no.
just they're doing what they were taught by their parents, who were taught that by their parents.
Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, and then there's other instances like, you know, when you're told things that aren't true because of other people's insecurities and issues. An example of that is when I was in eighth grade, I tried out for concert choir. And you've heard me sing, you know, I'm capable. That teacher told me I couldn't sing. And I went through so many years of my life believing that. And I later found out that she was my aunt's teacher, because my aunt is like 14 years older than me. So she was also my aunt's music teacher. And I guess she didn't like my aunt. And so she took that resentment of my aunt out on me by telling me I couldn't sing. And she formed a true core belief that was so untrue. I really believed I wasn't a good singer. And now I know way better than that, right? And so, but I believe for many years, you know, limiting beliefs are, we're going to talk about that a lot. One, because obviously that's Lawrence's wheelhouse, but also because it stems from fear. And we're going to break down those limiting beliefs, and we're going to talk about why they're not true and what you can do to get around those. So in our last couple minutes, I just want to, I want to thank the listeners. If you're still here, and still listening to us ramble, I appreciate you. Please like, share, and subscribe, because I don't care about the algorithm. I don't care about the monetization. I just care about as many people as possible hearing our message so that they can start to heal and become who they are meant to be. You know, like I said, we each have a part to play in the greater cellular structure. And, you know, if each of us are vibrating at a specific frequency, then that means that we are a note in a greater symphony of frequency, right? And something that I say and believe truly is that, you know, Some are like water, some are like the heat. Some are the melody and some are the beat. But each and every one of us is a greater cell in the organism, and being selfish, C-E-L-L-F-I-S-H, is the greatest gift that you can give to humanity. So thank you again for joining us. Join us next time. We will be posting every Monday. Join us next time for talking about limiting beliefs, with a special focus on, the things that we've covered that I'm literally blanking on right now because ADHD is fun, but, lucky for you, it's recorded. So if you don't remember either, you can rewind. but no, seriously, I really, hope that you guys enjoyed this. I enjoyed this interaction. I always enjoy what I'm talking about. If you want to know more about the Self-Awareness Project, visit us at selfawareness.com, C-E-L-L-F awareness.com. We're on Instagram at Self-Awareness, Facebook at Self-Awareness Project, and on LinkedIn, the Self-Awareness Project LLC, and of course, Melissa LaPlante, my private profile. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, please, definitely reach out. We are bringing on a lot of different dynamic guests to talk about a lot of different areas of the five different principles and of physics. We're going to be bringing science people in. We're going to be bringing other coaches in. We're going to be bringing entrepreneurs in. So there's going to be a lot of, things that are going to be valuable, in this episode, but I really wanted to take this episode, to just, kind of tell you what we're about and what this is about. And, we hope that you enjoy it. So you have a wonderful rest of your day. And thank you for tuning into the Fearlessness Frequency Manifesting Success with Melissa LaPlante and Lawrence Harris. Thank you.